Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, well, a little bit of selling pressure, but is this the bear move? Is the rally over? And you can say, I don't know. You can say a bunch. And at the end of the day, it's not an easy call or a way to decide right now. Okay? We need more information. And, you know, we need more of a footprint to what's happening. And at the end of it, again, you know, we've got 4.5 weeks or so left in this year of actual trading, of meaningful trading. And, you know, we could break, we could rally, we could do nothing. You know, one of the theories is because we had such a big October that the rest of the year, that might have been the Santa Claus rally. But again, as I mentioned and warn, okay, let's not believe that rallies are over that fast. And let's also remember that we will have plenty of opportunity to get back in if this is indeed the sell-off that we're looking for, because there will be rallies that will be sellable. This is always the case in markets when you look at what's going on, and people tend to react too quickly to make sure that they don't miss the move. And what I'm telling you is that you don't want to do that. You want to do is you want the ability to sit back, take a deep breath, and say, okay, now what am I looking for? Well, now you'd be looking for a little bit of a rally into a resistance spot. But again, we need more evidence. We need more proof that this is indeed going to be the start of a bear trend. Remember, we have just come off rallying 6 straight weeks, excuse me, without any selling. So at some point, you're going to see profit takers come in and take a little bit off the table. Don't ever convince yourself of anything different. The market is very logical. Traders, investors, people make it illogical. Reports make it illogical. Always having to make a story as to why something happens makes it illogical. But at the end of the day, okay, it's a very logical follow the footprint arena that if you check it closely and you observe what's going on, you will find very good opportunities that will allow you to benefit from the market. Now, again, everyone is not a guarantee. You are not always going to make money, even if you do everything correctly and properly. But at the end of the day, you will put yourself in a much better mathematical position to benefit from the footprint that the market leaves. And that, my friends, is what trading is about. It's not about picking the top or picking the bottom. It's about going and guiding yourself through the treacherous waters of markets and allowing yourself, while everybody is trying to swim upstream, to swim downstream with the current. And that is what you have to look for as you work at different opportunities. there are certain things that you will start to see that will be more automatic to you. Now, again, just because they're automatic does not mean they're going to work all the time. But trading is about being in the correct position at the correct time and then having to be right. There is no guarantee that you will always be right, because you will not. But to try to make a bear market out of 1 or 2 days is not a logical proposition, because it just doesn't happen like that. You know, all markets are built over time. All markets develop over time. Now, if you were trading on a 1 minute chart, then you could make a case for a bear market over 20 minutes, because that would be like 20 days. But again, you have to take into consideration the time frame that you're trading from and the direction in which we're heading. And then you want to look to find the path of least resistance. And that's how you use the footprint model overall, is by always identifying opportunities that show without being influenced by the banter and the BS that is spewed on every financial network, on every radio station, but here, okay? Because it's not about the news. It's not about Janet Yellen. It's not about earnings. At the end, it comes back to fundamentals, okay? But trades, markets don't trade fundamentally, okay? That's what you have to understand. You have to understand that markets trade technically, and eventually the markets will catch up to the fundamentals, whether it be lower or higher. Okay. But when you're trading, you don't look at those things, because that's not what drives the market. Money, price discovery drives the market. And that has to always be your guide, is to look and see how we are discovering price. If we continue to discover price at lower levels, well, then is the overall market that you're watching in an uptrend or a downtrend? If it's an uptrend, then initially the first spot you would want to look at would be to find a spot to buy, because most likely you're going to get a rally at some point off of a level of support. If the market's in a bear market or a downward trending market, then you want to look to be a seller of the rally when it comes back in. When a market is consolidating, you'll look to trade either side. But again, you have to do so by the footprint and not what you read in Barron's or the Wall Street Journal, because again, that news is already old news. News is no good to trade with, because unless you have the inside news, and even if you have the inside news, you are not necessarily guaranteed to be victorious. The key is, again, price discovery and money that will guide you to the promised land. If you think any differently, you will find out that you will be in for a rude awakening, because we know that markets do what they're going to do. And you sometimes wonder, well, how could the market have been up on Friday and down on Monday? Okay, the same news, nothing changed. Well, because profit takers decide to come in. And this is what you have to focus on, is the psychology along with the footprint will guide you to the best. But your job is, should you decide to accept it, is to trade with the prevailing market that you are trading, and not try to outguess, outsmart, outdecipher. Because at the end, the market is always right. So that's our little bit of a trading lesson for today. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure to get The Bubba Show on demand at libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show. We're going to step out for a break. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, you know, there's so much crap floating around out there. And you know, I really get annoyed by the stories that are made of what, why this happened, why that happened. And, you know, there's a big talk now that maybe there's going to be a recession coming up. And my question is, have we ever left the recession that we were in? I don't think we've ever left the recession that we're in. Do you? I'd love to hear you tell me what you think. Okay. I mean, you know, there's a lot of problems out there. Okay. It is amazing that the markets are, you know, fairly close to all-time record highs with all the stuff that's out there. But if we look at a couple of things, you know, we hear a lot about the debt, and it's $18.5 trillion. You know what that doesn't take into consideration? That doesn't take in the amount of money that they owe to the unfunded pensions. That doesn't take into consideration a lot of things. So maybe the debt's actually even bigger than it appears. You know, it's amazing when you have your own accounting principles that you can adhere to. Okay. Should we be concerned that global demand for goods is drying up? Now, the population is growing, but yet demand is drying up. Should that be a concern to everybody? Okay. But yet, you know, the stock market still exists, still near record highs. You get the picture? Okay. Now, you know, we've seen some pretty piss poor manufacturing numbers, and I think that's more the key. Because, as you know, my opinion that more of the feeling, more of the lack of the jobs picture is really in that, you know, 40-ish, 45, 50-ish level, because those guys are the ones that are missing the high-paying jobs. Okay. So I think that is something that we look at. Now, there's obviously been a tremendous amount of crap been talked about the impending interest rate rise. Now, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen. And actually, for one more month, I hope it doesn't, because I got to win my $20 with Dagan and McDowell. But I don't think they're going to raise. I think they should. I think that will actually be better. But again, you know, I'm just one guy. But I think the banks would love to see interest rates rise. I tell you, the clearing firms would love to see interest rates higher, because that's where they make their money, is on that interest that they're not getting right now. So you have to talk of what we're looking at and who benefits the most. And believe it or not, we would benefit. Individuals, the middle class, would benefit by higher interest rates. Now, it doesn't sound right and it doesn't feel right, but you can't buy your house today because you can't borrow the money. But if interest rates were higher, you could probably borrow the money, because the banks want to work on that spread. And right now, the spread's just not wide enough for them to put it out. But they're dying. They've got a lot of money that needs to go out, and they're just holding on to it because, again, they're accumulating cash so that they don't have to take risk. They don't like risk. You know, they don't like it for today. They'll be back, as always. Okay. But there's just so many things that we have to look at and be concerned about. And one of the bigger things as well that, you know, we don't often talk about, we often talk about that the other side of your trade is always pros, but, you know, you are trading. You are investing against professionals. And I'm not talking about the firms. I'm talking about the actual professional traders that are there. And it's not a big deal. Okay. What you have to take into mind when you're trading, see, we can't and should not look at the market tick by tick, because it really isn't that important. It isn't that important. And you're not going to get out tick by tick. So why do you drive yourself wacko trying to follow it tick by tick? I get what I'm saying here. You don't need to watch. You don't need to look at your portfolio every 5 minutes. It'll still be there. And what would you do if the market was collapsing when you were looking at it? Would you sell? Would you puke? Would you panic? And that's the issue. So why aggravate yourself by continuing to look at that portfolio when you're 99% probably not going to do anything anyways? And if you're an active trader, you probably have some sort of stop or some sort of exit point, because remember, if we don't know the exit before we get into the trade, we're not getting into that trade. So to keep about, you know, you want to keep those things in mind, because at the end of the day, okay, you are about you. You are about the money that you're trying to make. Okay. And the bad habits that we all have is we have to watch. We're looking, we're hoping, we're praying. And we emotionally change as the markets change. I got news for you. I'm telling you right now that most people I know are dying to get short the market, me being one of them. But the minute we get a little bit of a sell-off, all of a sudden those big sellers that couldn't wait for the market to go down say, oh, well, maybe we should buy now. And that is not the logic that you use, okay? That's what we're talking about all the time. That's why to look and watch and try to work every tick is a losing proposition. That's why worrying about, you know, what's going on everywhere that's in the public news, because the market will have probably a black swan event, okay? And that black swan event won't be announcing itself. And when it happens, it's just going to happen. So, but if you're trying to time for it and look for it, you will find yourself in a much worse position overall, because they don't announce themselves and you're not going to be prepared for it. Okay. But typically you will, if you continue to watch and you trade correctly by watching levels and trying to be with the flow, then you would have been there for the event on August 24th. Now, again, you won't get them all. We're not trying to get them all. Okay. We're trying to be in a position to get the most and to grind on a regular basis. But don't think that you are somebody that's better than everybody else that can get every move, because you just can't. Again, it's a virtual impossibility to think like that. And that's where you have to lighten up and, again, let the markets dictate to you what you think their next move is going to be. Because recession, no recession, China, no China, GDP, manufacturing, no jobs, for the market, does it really matter? Think about it. Has it had one negative effect on the market over the last 7 years? And the answer is no, it really has not. So why would this time be different? It won't. Okay? Fed manipulation, socialism, whatever you want to put to it, it's not going to change. But what will change is your ability to look into a market and say, hey, this gives me a better shot because I have a legitimate reason to get in here. Versus, hey, let me take a shot here. I think this is going to happen. I don't want to think. I want to look at something. I want to have a viable reason. When I'm playing blackjack and I have an 11, I'm going to double down. I'm going to split aces. I'm not taking insurance on blackjack. Okay, why? Because they're mathematically against me to do those things. When I have 16 into a 10, I'm going to hit. Yes, I'm going to break most of the time. But for the percentage points that I'm going to win, it's going to make up for the losses, because I'm going to lose less by doing the proper thing. So keep that in mind when you next put your next trade on and you say, hey, I'm going to do what's correct versus what the news is telling me or what I get my head wrapped around. Because at the end of the day, you'll be a much happier camper. And you'll really be happy if you go to thebubbashow.org and check out the Bubba Show, the Bubba and Badger in our hedging class. Because you will find out that you will find the new world. The new world of limiting down the amount of risk you have to take and never having to panic out of your portfolio again. I got to tell you something. That is like they said in Field of Dreams. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. Is hedging heaven? No, but it certainly is a hell of a lot better than not being hedged. Check it out at thebubbashow.org. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you check it out, thebubbashow.org. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be right back after the break. Rings in my nose to
be cool. Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and it is time for our guy, our man from Demeter Research, Matt Demeter. Welcome back to the show, Matt. How you doing?
Doing great, Todd. How about you?
I'm doing great. So, the last week you told us that you looked for some selling pressure in the precious metals. They did sell off. I'll let you talk about it in a couple of seconds. You talked to us about the DAX, and the DAX is really kind of stuck in a range. And you said you looked for the indexes to kind of move a little bit higher here. And, of course, all three of those things have happened. So, first, take us through the DAX. Is there anything in the DAX you're seeing here? Are we still under the same impression? What's your take?
The DAX is just kind of like pivoting off this resistance line it has. It's ascending slowly, about 8 points per day. And, you know, it keeps respecting the line. It keeps seeing it from the underside and now the top side. It's not really, you know, gapping away from it. It's just staying in that right around the line. That says to me it's respecting the line and that it should drop to its reciprocal line. In most normal trading circumstances, that's what would happen. And that's, as I've been saying, 2,500 points lower, about 22-23%. So I'm still bearish on the DAX, but we may just have to wait and see how much longer it will take to get away from this line.
Now, if it did break above the line, what would convince you that you're wrong, or the chart? You know, again, it's not right or wrong. It's reading the footprint or whatever you want to call it. But you've got an imaginary, you know, real line there. But it's kind of an area, and it's amazing how charts come to these points and they stall, either going up or going down, and then they kind of bounce around that line almost every day, keeping that line in play. But at some point, it's either going to make a decision and it's going to break and meet your objective of the downside, or it's going to break out to the upside. So at what point does your resistance area, which we're pivoting around right now, change into a support area?
Well, you know, the longer we stay above, and there few days last week where we 2 days where we stayed above, then we broke below. The longer we stay above the line, the more likely it is that it's going to take off to the upside. And if it does take off to the up, and you know, I would say if we get away from the line by, you know, 50 to 100 points, at that point, you know, you can probably say goodbye to it. It's gone to the upside. And from that point, you're looking at a rally, maybe not a very fast rally, but you're at least looking at the upside. It would be targeting a line that's currently around 12,100, which is more than 10% higher, and it's rising by, say, 30 points per day. It's a very fast moving line, so we'd be looking at a big rally in the DAX. Okay. If we say got away from it by I don't know, 70, 100 points.
So in other words, if it gets away from it, and then what happens is the initiation changes and it becomes a support area versus a resistance area. I mean, it's very similar to what happened to our markets. We had some resistance, we've broken above, and of course, as you said, you expect to see new highs coming here, you know, before year's end. And of course, I mean, we could make new highs any day, and because we're less than we're less than 2% away for sure with every index except for the Russell. So, are you still looking for those new highs to come?
I'm still looking for the new highs. There's a major resistance line in the Dow that comes in at 18. I've already made it public on our YouTube channel, but it's a video where we just go over the analysis there. But that target is at 18,250. So we wouldn't quite make a new high in the Dow if I'm right that once we hit that target, we'd get a pretty substantial sell-off. Now, if that sell-off were to happen very fast and we were, you know, it was a very quick retracement, you know, over a couple of weeks. You know, theoretically, we could fall all the way, you know, back down to the August lows, as far as the August lows. And then we could have a crazy rally through the end of December that could get us all the way back up. But that's very violent, very quick. And I don't know if it would make new highs by the end of the year. It might have to go into early January.
Okay, and then, so when you look, now, there's some very big diverging markets, things going on in the market, and of course, I think the first thing is the weakness in the Russell compared to the other indices. Does that play into your research at all?
Yeah, it does. Russell and NYSE, the New York Stock Exchange composite, they're the broader indices. They look like they need to fall relatively right around here. They could go a little bit higher, but they're at logical places to sell off from. And I think that if we were to fall, I think that they would not be harmed as much. They wouldn't fall percentage-wise, perhaps this next time. And that's because a lot of these funds that have gotten long, the headline indices like S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, while they've been getting long those guys, they've been getting short the Russell, the broader, the small caps. And so that's sort of been a hedge for them. So if they start selling S&P, they can start covering their hedge. So I think they may not fall quite as much on the next move down.
So when you look, and you know, again, we see this divergence, and we also see that the rally, although, you know, fairly powerful in the other indices. I mean, the Nasdaq's up almost 25% from the bottom, and the Dow and the S&P are up in the high teens from their bottom. But it seems to be a very targeted rally because it doesn't seem that all the stocks are participating. It seems like a lot less are participating, yet they're just the right ones to continue to push the indices higher. Does that show up to you as well?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. The big caps, the ones that can really make, you know, differences, like Apple and so forth, the big cap stocks that can move the big indices, those seem to be where the capital's going.
Does that change? Again, I'm trying to get into, you know, your way of using technical analysis and research. Does that have any concern to you, or you just, it doesn't matter? And this is the point I want you to make to
market breadth being so bad.
Yeah.
But sorry, go on.
I mean, that's just the point that we want to make to the listeners. I mean, because again, we can talk, and you know, people will go, well, we're not going up, and there's no volume. We're going up, but there's no volume, so it's bearish. Well, it may indeed be bearish, it may be bullish, it doesn't. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. If you're short and the market goes up, you lose money, and you can make up all the excuses and all the reasons you want. There wasn't enough volatility. There was not enough volume. Blah, 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 blah. The whole thing, at the end of the day, if you're short the index and it goes higher, you lose money, and that's the way it goes, and we have to get away from that. So does any of that stuff come into play in your technical research, or is it just purely about the exact movement of the chart?
For me, it's about the exact movement of the chart. I'm looking for symmetry. So, you know, the clearest example of symmetry for me is if I were to see you know, if you had a drop, let's say, a vertical drop, and then you see a bunch of choppy choppiness, just sideways movement. Then I'd be looking for, you know, for symmetry, I'd want another drop, a straight line drop, just like the first one was. That would be the simplest chart that I would be able to analyze. In fact, I think we might have talked about this before once, but I actually believe that this major sell-off, the August sell-off, was the second leg of the 2011 sell-off, because in that 2011 sell-off, it was a waterfall decline, we had a chop zone, and then there was no follow-through to the downside. It looked like it was going to, but it didn't follow through. And because this was, it gets very, you know, detailed, we start trying to visualize this, but it's going along upward slope. So this second leg down, to me, this is the second leg down, this August drop. And to me, that sort of completed the pattern from 2011. That's why I'm fairly bullish, you know, longer term and thinking about new highs. Another thing that is making me feel this way, I look at RSI closely, and in my RSI patterns, what I'm seeing is, like, if you take like a monthly or a weekly chart of, say, the NASDAQ, and you see the drop that we've had from the July top down to the August low, and you see how much did RSI drop at the same time from the high down to the low, and it on a weekly or a monthly chart, it dropped a lot. And then on this move back, which has been almost all the way back now, we're almost right back at the high in the NASDAQ, the RSI has not moved even half up what it dropped on the way down. So that's telling me that there's plenty of room to run longer term in the NASDAQ. In fact, you know, right now, all I'm debating about is whether or not we're going to get this short-term sell-off and another chance at the lows. If we don't get it, then, you know, we don't get it. But I still think we will. But longer term, I think the NASDAQ and the rest of the indices are going to new highs, perhaps substantially new highs.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, there's no – we know a couple of things from being around, and we know that markets go up year over year. They don't go up every year, but they do go up from the beginning of time. And, you know, a good flush out is never a problem, because what it does is flush out the weak, but it brings you back stronger companies. But that's part of the technical patterns that we trade all the time as we look at this. But we're with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. Really has some great stuff. We're going to come back and talk to Matt, because I've got a theory about something and I want to run it by Matt. But we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. And also remember to check out thebubbashow.org. And check out some of our hedging programs now. It's becoming, I think it's the way to go. It's what the major funds are now starting to look at. And you guys are on the inside track if you check it out, because we're one of the few guys that really understand how to make it work and how to protect your portfolio. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
I've been feeling real good. Came a long way from misunderstood.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm hanging out with my man, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. And Matt, before I get into what I think is going on in the metals area, I did want to ask you, does the jobs report or the Fed, any of that play into your research as well? Or again, I mean, you know, with me, it's purely, I don't really care. I don't even need to know what the news is. I can pretty much tell you what it was based on the way the markets reacted. But we're seeing some conflicting signs here from a trading standpoint, and that is the divergence. You know, the bond market is saying there's going to be a rate hike, but the stock market still seems to think there's not. Does any of that come into play in your research?
Yeah, as far as we had the jobs report, and obviously it was bullish, and you can see what happened to the metals. They dropped very quickly. It's dollar bullish, I should say. What I think is even more interesting with the metals is the high that we got in silver and the spike up we got in gold on Fed Day, October 28th. You see what happened there. We had a run-up overnight. Meanwhile, these commercial banks, the big banks, ones, all, you know, name-brand banks, were heavily short gold and silver. And it seemed odd that, you know, they can control these markets, particularly when they're thin, and silver is a very small market. They have no problem controlling it. We had a big run-up the night before the Fed announcement, and we got up to, silver got up to 1640 right before the Fed announcement. And this was about to trip a major resistance line for me. And I just didn't, I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see that they were just gonna take a major short position and just let it run against them if the Fed announcement was dovish. If it was dovish, it could have just run in their face and they would have taken very big losses. Instead, we got a more hawkish statement. Silver immediately plunged, gold immediately plunged. I just, you know, I see this kind of pattern all the time, and it's very interesting. Particularly, you said that the jobs report, it happens very often before jobs reports as well. If I believe the commercial banks are made, you know, privy to the decisions that are going to be announced, or the jobs numbers, maybe not as much as the, on the jobs numbers, but definitely Fed decisions.
Well, that was a fact. I mean, that was news that they got. They all got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and I think that's part of the problem with the Fed. But I do think that there's a lot of manipulation going on with the precious metals market, and I think that, I mean, you can start with the banks, the big banks, the big guys, and you know, you guys have heard me name them before. I won't name them with Matt, but you guys have heard me. You guys know who I'm talking about. But also, I think a lot of the major economies are also kind of playing this game here, manipulating down prices. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that I believe China is showing that they may be a seller of gold, but they're actually buying immense quantities, like in almost not in the black market, but again, kind of behind the scenes. I think they're accumulating. Is there any thought you had to that? Is that a possibility? Is that something you may be seeing, or what are you seeing?
I think that's exactly the case. I don't know as much about China, although I do read about it, and it does seem legitimate to me that China is accumulating as much physical as possible, and that they like the low gold prices as they are because it allows them to buy more. But I think we're doing the same thing here. The commercial banks are doing the same thing here, particularly in silver, which is a little bit more easy to document. Some big entity out there is taking large positions in the SLV ETF, and then before they hit the 5% reporting requirement, which, because it's a stock, you'd have to report after you're above 5%, they have the right to withdraw metal as opposed to keeping their shares. So they can exchange shares for metal. So some big entity out there is taking delivery of SLV silver bars.
Okay, so, you know, now in your mind, why would somebody want to manipulate? I mean, we know why traders would want to manipulate, you know, anything, because obviously if you can create an edge for yourself, you'd want to manipulate to make a lot of money. And of course, the banks and everybody else wants to make money too. But do you think they're manipulating because they're on a fact that they possibly worried about what's going on? Or is it just strictly for a trade like they do with many other things, you know, when they make ridiculous calls and a product? And we know that that's really not what they're doing. You know, I'm from the floor. You know, right. So if floor traders, you know, you would have, you know, a major bank come in and push the market one way quietly, but in the meantime, on the other side of the pit, they were actually doing the exact opposite, and they were creating that position where they were forcing, you know, if they wanted to buy, they were forcing people to sell because they had one of their brokers selling things, and then of course they were really buying in much bigger quantities on the other side. So are you looking at this as a trade, or is this possibly a problem in the overall economy?
I think it's both a trading phenomenon and also a longer-term strategy for the banks. I think shorter-term they'll move things. They'll pop the metals through stops that they know have accumulated, just so they can. Great example is gold had about a triple bottom somewhere around 1130, and that was back in July, and then on a Sunday night, I think, if I recall, they dumped about 1,000 contracts in one trade in thin Sunday night trading, just to push through that 1130 stop. So they knew that they want to accumulate, they want to buy. And they're saying, oh, be, you know, be bearish to their clients and to the public. No, I don't. I think they're playing for themselves. But that's part of the short term game. I think the long term game is they are if you can fix a price in the futures market, that's the pricing mechanism. With all their, you know, HFT algorithms and the spoofing that they can do and so forth, and just, you know, the public commentary they can make. If you can do all that and you can control silver, for example, now you can set the price, and now you can go into the physical market and buy at a price you know is way below fair market value. You can continue to do that as long as it works, you know, make a huge hoard, build up a huge hoard, and, you know, it could be a longer-term trade. The next time the Fed has to decide to implement QE, and I do believe there's going to be a next time in the not-too-distant future, that's you'll want to have that. That position.
So let's talk about two things here, okay? The first thing I want to say, I'm going to comment, you mentioned spoofing. I don't really care about spoofing. Spoofing's been going on since the Stone Age in every product throughout the world. That's nothing new. That has nothing to do with high-frequency traders. You know, you can, again, we can have a debate on that, but when we were market makers, we used to spoof too. We'd show a bid because we knew that there was buyers coming in, so we could sell it at a higher price. So that's just part of doing business. I mean, that's when you go and you sell somebody something, you say, hey, I got a big demand, you want a part of this. But more importantly, on the QE front and on the interest rate front, in your eyes, does the Fed raise in December like they keep continuing? Or is this a way to create more confusion so the Fed doesn't have to do anything? What's your opinion?
Well, the charts are saying that the euro doesn't have a ton more to fall. It's a little more clearer than the U.S. dollar index chart. But I would answer two ways. Number one, dollar seems to be close to a technical peak, not quite there yet. Euro seems to be close to a technical bottom, not quite there yet. So there's not a whole lot more room to run. And then the second way I'd answer is the commercials, the banks we're talking about still, they have huge short positions against the dollar and huge, not quite as long positions in the euro. So they're seeing dollar weakness and euro strength. And they'll play these kind of markets. They'll do this for the long run. They'll do, you know, this kind of, they'll stay heavily short the dollar for, you know, year, 2 years, that kind of trade, just like they did with oil. They've been short oil prior to the big drop. They were short for a year and a half, 2 years. I forget how far back it goes, but they were heavily short oil. And then they finally got what they wanted, and they got the huge drop they wanted. So this can go on for a long time, but I don't, you know, maybe they raise a quarter, maybe the Fed raises a quarter point. I don't know. That may be built into the market. I don't know if it really matters. But I don't think we're talking about, you know, any substantial change over the next year in the Fed funds rate.
All right, great. And this has been Matt Demeter from Demeter Research here with me on The Bubba Show. Matt, always great to have you on, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org, and we will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, take care, everybody. Have a great day.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.